This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Doe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
I'm here with Dr. Omar Amlani. Hello.
Hi.
He's here to talk about galaxy formation and evolution. He's been leading the Ultra Deep survey based at the University of Nottingham. So what can you tell us about this survey?
Yeah, thanks. So this is a project that's been going on since 2005. And the idea is to obtain a very, very deep, very, very large image of a distant universe to study very, very distant galaxies and study them in large numbers for the first time. So every year we take more data, and we've been accumulating over 1,000 hours of exposure so far, and we've co-added all that data to produce the deepest image ever obtained over a square degree in the infrared. And what this allows us to do is not only detect very, very faint galaxies, ray out to redshifts of 6 and 7, which means looking back 13 billion years back in time, but we can detect them in large numbers. So we can detect thousands of galaxies 12, 11, 10, 8 billion years back in time, and by comparing them at different stages in the evolution of the universe, we can try and understand how galaxies form and evolve.
Okay, so just to clarify for our listeners, when you say deep, you mean sort of looking further back in distance and time in the universe then?
That's right, yeah. Because of the finite speed of light, when we detect very, very distant galaxies, we're also looking back in time. The faintest galaxies we can detect are at redshifts above 6. What does that mean? That means the light has travelled over 13 billion years to reach our telescopes. So we're looking back at the very, very early stages of the universe, because we believe the universe is roughly 13.7 billion years. So we can actually detect galaxies in the first billion years after the Big Bang. The image that we have now is so deep, we've detected over 200,000 galaxies. And when you look at this image, and I'll send you a link to the image that we produced, most of the galaxies that you see in that image, the light left those galaxies before the Earth was even formed. Most of them are so far away that they're distances of, you know, more than 6 billion light years. So this is, you know, mind-boggling, but it allows us to do some pretty unique things. We can study galaxies as they were very, very far back in time and actually witness the formation and evolution of galaxies at various slices through cosmic time. So we're studying evolution, but unlike people who try to study, so, you know, the evolution of life on Earth, we can actually see galaxies as they were way back in time, which gives us a very privileged perspective.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So what distinguishes earlier galaxies from later galaxies? How do they evolve, essentially?
It's a very good question. So it's one of the many puzzles, actually, in this area. Galaxies way back then, the most massive galaxies in particular, appear to have formed very, very rapidly. This is something that astounded astronomers maybe 10 years ago. We could actually detect massive, fully evolved galaxies already fully assembled and in place 8 billion years back in time. And that essentially turned models of galaxy formation on their head in the early 2000s. The classic idea was that the most massive galaxies only form gradually through the slow build-up and merging of smaller systems. To actually see big monsters in place 8 billion years ago was a big surprise. So what appears to happen is that the very massive galaxies form and assemble first. And then something very mysterious happened. Something then switches off the formation of any more stars, so that the biggest galaxies we see around us today, the big elliptical galaxies, which are very, very red, not forming any stars, most of the action, most of their formation occurred very early on in the universe. Some mysterious phenomenon then prevented the formation of any more stars, and then they we call passively evolved since then. So that's one of the big differences early on. Activity in the early universe was concentrated in forming the most massive galaxies we see today.
So what happens to the passive galaxies? Did they just sort of stay where they are? Did they maybe disperse over time? Or
yeah, lots of puzzles. So actually, one puzzling aspect of them is not only did they form very early on, when we look at them back in time, they're much smaller than they are today. This is a fairly recent discovery. Not only do we see massive, very, very large galaxies that have already formed stars, already shut off their star formation, when we see them in the early universe, they're smaller than they are today. So some process puffs them up, makes them larger.
Okay.
And there are various ideas of what this might be. It might be interactions with their neighbors. It might be something associated with the black hole in the middle. It's an ongoing topic of research. But that's the nice thing about this field. There are lots of different puzzles to work on.
Yeah, that's always a nice challenge. And is there anything else that you could tell us about these earlier galaxies that differentiate them from later galaxies in terms of the way they interact with the surrounding universe? Or
yeah, that's actually a good point. I'm going to be showing some new results today on outflows from galaxies. We can actually study outflowing gas that's been ejected, perhaps by exploding stars, supernova. And what we find is that, in the present-day universe, very, very large-scale, massive outflows, winds from galaxies are quite rare phenomena. Only a few percent of galaxies actually do this locally. Very, very extreme starburst galaxies, they're called. What we find is that in the early universe, if you look back, maybe 5-6 billion years back in time, most galaxies seem to be undergoing massive outflow events. In other words, they're throwing out vast amounts of gas and material into their surrounding medium. So that's something that's very, very different from the present day. The outflows are much more common. So what we're witnessing is interaction between galaxies and their environments. It looks like the environments of the galaxies play a major influence on how they form and how they grow, but at the same time, the galaxies themselves are ejecting gas, ejecting heavier elements into their surroundings.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of seems that the universe is sort of winding down in energetic phenomena because there's less star formation, there are fewer outflows. Could this be related to anything on a large scale or cosmologically?
That's a really good point. Activity as a whole in the universe peaked around about 8-10 billion years ago. That's when star formation was at its peak. That's when black holes in the cores of galaxies, supermassive black holes, were at their most active, when quasars were much more abundant. Quasars being, we believe, very, very nuclear regions of galaxies emitting gigantic amounts of radiation. So activity generally peaked in the early universe, and it's been declining ever since. Understanding exactly why this is certainly a very important clue as to what forms galaxies and the process of galaxy formation. And we think it might be related to actually dark matter, the dark matter halos within which galaxies formed. It seems that the most massive structures form and collapse first, and that might trigger the formation of the most massive galaxies and the biggest black holes. And then activity later on in the universe might be related with smaller dark matter halos that collapse later on in the universe. So this is a clue as to what might be going on, but it's still an open question.
Okay, so possibly the universe is getting a bit more fragmented as things go along.
The activity is definitely winding down. It looks like most star formation in the present day universe is going on in relatively small dark matter halos. And in the local universe, the most massive galaxies are dead. They are not forming stars. They did their thing already. Maybe 8 billion years ago. So this is interesting. It's called downsizing. That's how one of the phrases that astronomers use to describe it. Cosmic downsizing. Activity was more prevalent in the bigger systems early on in the universe, and in the present-day universe, it seems to be winding down, and it's just a sort of trickle of activity in the low-mass halos.
Since we're talking about galaxies, how does the formation of a galaxy impact its shape? Because most of our listeners know that galaxies can be split up into sort of spiral galaxies, elliptical galaxies. How do the early stages of formation, the things that you are looking at, impact maybe the shape of a galaxy further down the line?
So this is one of the major unsolved problems in astrophysics. there's a real bimodality in galaxy properties. High-mass galaxies locally are elliptical in shape, and they're massive, and they're red, they're not forming stars. Low-mass galaxies are generally blue, which means they're forming stars, and they're generally disk shapes. They're basically spiral galaxies. Why do we have this bimodality? It's a very, very good question. The nub of this is what forms the elliptical galaxies and how do they form? How do the massive ellipticals form? Do they form from the mergers of spiral systems, disk systems? That's one camp. Or do they form in a much more monolithic collapse of gas in a higher redshift universe? And it's really not clear. There are reasons to expect if two massive spiral galaxies merge, you might naturally expect them to form a large bulge system. But then that bulge should then accrete gas and probably form a disk. So exactly why this very acute bimodality is in place, is one of the big unsolved problems.
Wow. So as you mentioned earlier, plenty of puzzles to ponder. So yeah. So what does the future hold for deep surveys? Is there a limit to how far back you can look? If you just add more and more hours of telescope time, will you just be keep looking further and further back?
Yeah, good, very good question. It's actually a bit of both. I mean, our survey's been getting progressively deeper every year, and that allows us to look at fainter systems and more distant galaxies, both of which give us very important clues as to what's going on. So increased depth is certainly going to help, but also looking at larger areas, that's something I'm going to be looking at over the next few years. If you look over slightly wider areas, you can sample a much wider range in galaxy environments, and that gives you a bit more leverage in trying to understand whether it's nature versus nurture, whether the environment is shaping galaxy evolution, or whether it's a secular process associated with the internal process within a galaxy. And by sampling many more galaxies over a much wider range of environments over a larger area, we might have a bit of leverage to try and disentangle those two. So to answer your question, yeah, but we need a bit of both. But fundamentally, we need a lot more telescope time.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
All right. You're very welcome.